Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. We glorify your precious and beautiful name for your presence in this place, Lord God, in this beautiful region, Lord God, the Great Lakes. I ask that you bless every pastor's wife, their family, every leader in this place, UTC, Lord, and everybody who's here, Lord God. I pray there be a special impartation in their lives. Let them feel the presence of this third revival that you're breaking out, Lord God, in Victory Outreach around the world. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. As you remain standing, please open up your Bibles or your iPad or whatever form of Bible you're using this morning. To the book of John chapter 14. Book of John chapter 14. I really feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Thank you so much for the worship. You guys know you guys work a lot to do, you know, what you do. And I appreciate all the people, the musicians and the worship. I believe that when they practice, they don't just practice, they really worship. And what you see here this morning is an outflow of what they do when nobody sees them. And I want to thank you guys for that. The title of our message is The Most Powerful Person in the Universe, the Holy Spirit. The most powerful person in the universe is the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to introduce it to my best friend. You know him already. It's inside of you. But just like yesterday, we were able to learn a little bit about tongues, you know, and I think we went a little deeper. Even my little disciple, you know, he says, man, I heard you talk about that, but you never do so deep. It's that we continue to search the scriptures and so we can get revelation of, you know, really who we are. You know, our journey is going to be a lot easier if we just learn, you know, the things that seems to be, you know, obvious. You know, so the Holy Spirit, we know that he's pretty obvious in our lives. But let's go a little deeper today. Amen. And let's make him our best friend. Again, the title, The Most Powerful Person in the Universe, is the person of the Holy Spirit. Our text is going to be John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. The word helper in the Greek is parakletos, that he may abide in you forever. This is Jesus. he knows he's going to depart, and he knows that his disciples are going to be left behind. Oh, God, Jesus also knows that they're going to be persecuted. Jesus knows that some of them are going to be martyrs. They're going to suffer. But so Jesus says, look, I'm going to go, but I'm going to pray to the Father in heaven that he will send you another. That word another, when you look at the original manuscript, it says another identical to me. It's like my twin. I'm going to send you another, parakletos. And parakletos is someone that will be identical to me. Somebody that no matter what you do and where you go, he's going to go with you. Parakletos, alongside. So wherever you go, he goes with you. Make a left, you know. And wherever you go, it's like you're yoked with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. So he says, and I'm not going to leave you comfortless. You're not going to be fatherless. So parakletos, one that comes alongside of you, it says, will be with you forever. Amen. You may be seated. Once more time, I want to thank Pastor Nick and Myra and also Pastor Charlie and his beautiful wife for this great invitation and all the pastors that are here. I want to thank God for the UTC. Amen. Thank God. For Suzette, amen. She's part of my region. Yes, praise God. And everybody else is here. Praise the Lord. I was going to speak a little bit on fasting because of the occasion. You know, it's a prayer retreat. But, you know, it's always good to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's always good to listen to what God is doing so that you don't miss what God wants to do. So in when we speak in tongues, He guides us steps. And that's what I want God to help me, not to do my own thing or to, you know, this sounds good, or I have this message. But what is it that I can leave with you? As I go back to California, what would be the best thing that I can deposit in your life so that in my absence, in the absence of your pastors do not do the work of the Lord. And as you work hard so that we can populate our inner cities, you know, with the gospel, what is the one thing that's going to help you? And to me, it feels that, you know, if you allow the Holy Spirit to be your best friend, if you allow Him, if you know Him, then I believe that we can send you to the middle of the Sahara Desert and you'll start a church. We can send you to the Amazons and you can start a church. We can send you anywhere around the world because your dependency will be on the Holy Spirit and not just on your pastor or not just on your leaders. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is your best friend. So with the Holy Spirit, your future begins today. When you allow the Holy Spirit to become your best friend, that He brings the future into you today. Amen. So again, He is the most, even though He's the most powerful person in the whole universe, He is the most misunderstood person in this world today. Five examples in which many people misunderstand the Holy Spirit. Number one, people get emotional and they call that the Holy Spirit. You know, so they start shaking, they start, you know, doing crazy things, and they say, man, don't quench the Holy Spirit. You know, like, hey, be quiet, you know. People come in, you know, and they start doing weird things, and we trying to like, hey, can you cool down? No, you're quenching the Holy Spirit. I remember one time I was preaching in San Jose, Victory of San Jose, and we had about 1,200 people there. I mean, the place was jam-packed. And as I'm speaking, I'm making the altar call, and there's a lady, you know, the place was packed out, the altar call was packed out, and there's a lady started speaking, and in the middle of me speaking, she started yelling and screaming and doing kind of stuff, and I said, can you please be quiet? Shh. And she wouldn't, you know. I says, can you please ushers help me out, you know, and. You know, so later on I found out she was one of my intercessors. I said, what were you thinking, man? You know, so, but again, she thought, she didn't know that you have control over your emotions. The Spirit of God is subject to the prophet. Amen. So you can't say, I can't help myself. No, yes, you can. You can help yourself because the Spirit is subject to the prophet. Number two misunderstanding is others begin to shake uncontrollably, you know, and these are manifestations when you feel the Holy Spirit, but that is not the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we shake a lot, and I'm, you know, if you shake, that's fine, you know, but don't say that that's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's because you drank a Red Bull, and, you know, you're having this nervous attack. You know, don't call that the Holy, don't blame that on the Holy Spirit, amen? Call it what it is. It's a Red Bull, you know? Number three, many fall and they say it was the Holy Spirit. I fall maybe two times, for real. Maybe three, you know? But I have a problem with falling. I do have a problem with that. I believe it's the Holy Spirit. I believe that's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But I don't believe that everybody falls as the Holy Spirit. They are preachers that no matter what they do, they expect people to phone. And when people in the audience, they know, okay, this is how he moves. And you go to the front, sometimes, you know, psychologically, you fall because you're expected to fall. But you don't have to fall all the time. I mean, if it's the Holy Spirit, fall by all means. But don't do favors to the preacher. Make him feel good, you know, by saying, you know, I'm going to just fall so he can look good. The Holy Spirit, that's not the Holy Spirit. I remember one time I had a little church in Hollywood. I started a church in 37 years ago in Hollywood. Pastor Sonny sent us the church, maybe about 30, 40 people. And there was... it was one girl that, no matter what condition I was spiritually, every time I lay hands on her, she would, she fall. She's one of those, you know, no matter what, I could be dead in the flesh, but if I lay hands on her, she's going to fall. You know, and at this time I made an altar call, and we had a lady, her name is Joy. And she's like 82 years old. And this time around, you know, this girl, Tabitha, is in the front. And then I see Joy's right on back of her. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to lay hands on this girl. She's going to fall on Joy. She's going to kill her, man. She's 82 years old. And, you know, little Joy, you know, just like shaking. So I'm making my way. And I'm watching Tabitha, and she's one of those girls that, you know, she's like, see, how close you get in so I can fall, you know? And she's like, keep looking at me, and I'm just looking at her, and I'm thinking like, you know, and so I'm getting closer. I'm thinking, how am I going to do this, you know? Because I'm going to pass by her, and she's going to fall, and she's going to hurt this girl, Joy. So anyways, I went a little closer, and I'm thinking like, okay, what am I going to do? No, she's going to fall. And she would always do this, she'd fall. So I'm getting real closer. So I'm praying to the one right before her, and she's looking, you know, to see what you know, the timing of the falling. And as I'm doing this, you know, I was gonna skip her, you know, I'm gonna just. So anyways, so I'm saying I'm gonna skip her. I'm not gonna pray for her. I'm not laying hands on her. So I went like this, and I was gonna pray for the other person. She thought I was going to pray for her. She goes, ah! And on the way down, I grab her by the hair, and I put, you know, like I grab her by the hair, boom, and I put her right back, and I go, man, that prayer began on. The bad thing that she had a wig, you know, and the wig went sideways a little bit. But it was... What am I saying? You don't have to fall all the time. If it's not God, don't give the preacher a favor. That's false advertisement. Amen. So, do you get it? Okay, so I said, look, if I pray for you, you fall, that's fine. Get up different. If you fall, get up different. Don't get up the same. You know, get up different. Amen. If it's the Holy Spirit. So another one is that some people, they like to run. You know, when in church, and they blame that on it's the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to say it because it's public. You know, I think it was Bethel Church. They you know, the people, they run, you know, and they, so I heard that one lady started running, and she started running like crazy, and all of a sudden, you know, she said, if Jesus can go through the wall, I can surely go through the wall. Now, I'm not making this up, guys. I'm not making this up. She ran as fast as she could, and she hit the wall, and they're like a little coyote, you know, like Bugs Bunny, the coyote. She hurt herself. They had to call the ambulance to take her away. We don't condone that stuff. You want to run? Don't run into walls, amen. Just run around here, amen. You know, but do you see how the Holy Spirit is misrepresented? And they call that the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. How about the Toronto blessing? Barking, roaring like a lion. They say that the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the reason why the Holy Spirit, you know, he is so misrepresented on earth. Yet all this vomit, you know, and they said is deliverance by the Holy Spirit. I remember when I first got saved, and I had a friend of mine that was connected with some deliverance, you know, ladies, and the friend of mine he saw that I wanted to get help. I wanted to get delivered. I wanted to change. And he says, "Can you know, it looks like you need deliverance." I didn't know what deliverance was, you know. So, and she says, "Okay, look at." He gave me like 2 pages. It was 101 demons. It says, "You check the ones that you have, anger, pride, and all that stuff." And man, I check all of them. So I'm not making this up. So he called us. Man, there's someone that has all of them. She called the lady. Somebody has all of them, you know. So I'm innocent. You know, clean my heart. I want to change. You know, so I go. He takes me to this lady's house. And they had a chair. They had a bag. I'm not versed. I was a Catholic boy. So they have a bag and a chair. And they were getting ready. And I'm thinking, okay, I want more of God. You know, so I sit me down. I says, okay, this time it's going to work. If you feel like spitting or vomiting, you know, that's your deliverance. You know, I said, okay, you know, so I don't know nothing. You know, so I sat down. They started praying, you know, and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they're sweating, they're praying. Don't you feel like coughing? I go, no. Do you feel like vomiting? No. He says, well, try to vomit. Ah, you know, like, you know, trying to do all the crazy things. So finally, down on me, like, you know what? It doesn't feel right. You know, it doesn't feel right. And I said, you know what? Just take your hands off from me. You know, I don't feel good with what you guys are doing with me. There is a movement, you know, that believe in deliverance. That for in order for you to be delivered, you have to vomit. There is, you know, and you have to be careful with those people. That's not from the Lord. None of us. Pastor Nick, no, none of us. Pastor Charlie, we vomit, no, nothing, you know. I mean, we just got delivered by the power of God. There's still power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the scripture. There's power in the anointing of God. The yoke of God, the yoke of the Holy Spirit breaks the yoke of the enemy. That the anointing breaks the yoke. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So some of the above may be manifestations of the presence of the Holy Spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit like everybody thinks. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the third person of the Trinity. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three personalities, you know, yet different assignments. Just like you have vapor, water, and ice. Is that identical, the same substance, but in three different forms? That's like how you know, that's one of the best ways that we can describe in a natural way the Holy Spirit. He is not a junior God. The Holy Spirit is not a junior God. He is not lesser than the Father or the Son. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The same as the Father, and is the same as Jesus. The three in one, amen? So we cannot humanize the Holy Spirit. So when it said the Holy Spirit is a little dove, no, 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 no. The Holy Spirit is shaking, no, no. The Holy Spirit is energy, no. The Holy Spirit, you know, is power, no. Those are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's as important as the Father. He's as important as Jesus. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, and you need to talk to him as a person, not just a feeling, not just a force. He is a person. In human history, the Father functioned in the Old Testament, through the Old Testament, Jesus functioned on earth for 33 and a half years, from the time that he was born into the time that he of his ascension in Acts chapter 1. The Holy Spirit began his assignment on earth from the moment Jesus ascended until the end of time. So this is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. So if you're going to get close to anybody, get close to the Holy Spirit. If you're going to talk to anybody, talk to the Holy Spirit. He is God. He's not a junior God. He's not a lesser God. You know, he's not an afterthought of the Trinity. He is God himself. And he'll lead you to Jesus. He'll reveal the Father to you. He'll reveal the truth to you. Amen. And he will empower you to do the work of the Lord. You can't do without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit in our lives is a result of our communion with God. In John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, and the Bible says, I'm going to repeat again, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you. Now, Jesus talking to his disciples, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, Paracletos, that he may abide in you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor know him, but you know him. For he dwells in you and will be with you. So the greatest discovery anyone can make on earth is a discovery of the person of the Holy Spirit as your best friend. Okay? Not a symbol, but the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to make you know, one thing clear. The Holy Spirit does not draw us to worship him. Theologically, he's God. You know, but in practical Christianity, the Holy Spirit leads us to worship Jesus and the Father, but not him. The Holy Spirit didn't come to bring attention to himself. The Holy Spirit brings attention to Jesus and to the Father. So is it wrong to worship the Holy Spirit? It's not wrong because he's God, but that's not his function. His function is to help us worship Jesus, become no more like Jesus, and to please the Father, worship the Father. That's his function, okay? So yesterday I shared about the electricity. Okay, the Holy Spirit is like electricity. Yesterday I gave you the example of electricity. With electricity, you can give light, you can give heat, you can cook, you have AC, you can blow dry your hair. You can watch TV, you can listen to music, but it's all the power of electricity. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You can receive the gifts of the Spirit, you know, it's, even though it's the same power, the same Holy Spirit, but you can heal somebody through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can, you know, speak a word of knowledge through the Holy Spirit. Pastor Nick was telling me that young lady that I prayed for yesterday, I don't know nothing about her. I never have seen her face. But yet the Holy Spirit just say something about a husband or a son, a husband or a son, and then a business or something like that. I didn't know nothing about that. And here Pastor Nick was saying, man, she just lost her husband. You know? And so it was right on that. So I went home thanking God for you, sister, because you needed the word. You needed the word. You need to be reassured that God knows you. God knows you grieve. God knows how you're hurting. God knows. And then God is going to take care of the business. And God is going to grow. And God is going to franchise. You need to know that. But I know nothing about the business. So how did it happen? It was the function of the Holy Spirit. By speaking in tongues before, prior to this, you know, the Holy Spirit leads our steps. And when it leads our steps, you know, then comes words like that. You know, so again, it's the same power, the same Holy Spirit, but was anointing me to share. You know, was anointing me to pray. Was anointing me. My voice shouldn't be holding this good. Amen. But it's the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's, so the Holy Spirit has, you know, has, he uses, it's the same power, but we have different functions. Amen. And the Holy Spirit helps us, you know, to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, to grow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to transform your life. I'm going to share a little bit more about that, about the function of the Holy Spirit. So even though electricity is helpful for certain things, it can also kill you. That's what it does. Okay. Or it can shock you as an Ananias and Sapphira. Okay. So even though the Holy Spirit was anointing everybody to, you know, to birth the church, and, you know, and God was moving in a special way, in the same way, they lied to the Holy Spirit, and because they grieved the Holy Spirit, they both died in the first revival. Amen. So what are the functions of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is like a hammer. It breaks stubbornness. It breaks our pride. It breaks things like that. It's like the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is like a fire. It's like a fire. It burns, and it burns the passions that should not be, you know, the passions of the flesh. A mirror, you know, the Holy Spirit is like a mirror. It reveals, you know, who we really are. It's like water. It cleanses. It's like a river. The Holy Spirit guides. He guides you. He sanctifies you. He empowers you. He anoints you. And he teaches you. These are the few things in regards to the Holy Spirit. What I'm going to try to do here today is get you to fall in love with the Holy Spirit more. Because sometimes we can identify with the Father because we have fathers. We have a picture of the Father because you have a Father. You have a picture of Jesus because we've seen the Passion of the Christ. But how do I identify with the Holy Spirit when all we see is a little dove at times, a symbol? We don't know how to relate with the Holy Spirit. And so my assignment here today is to get you to understand that the Holy Spirit is inside of you, that the Holy Spirit loves you, that the Holy Spirit is there to help you, to empower you, to anoint you, to have an unction upon your life so you can do the work of the ministry. Amen. Especially in this third wave revival. The Holy Spirit is a person. When you make that discovery, you will not do things the same. When you know that the Holy Spirit is a person, you will never do the same thing the same. Okay, what I might mean, a lot of people are hooked on pornography. When you know the Holy Spirit is inside of you, he's a person, you're going to think twice before you start looking at crazy things in there. Because it's inside of you. When you're shacking up with somebody, not here, but, you know, like the people watching on TV. But before you start, you know, getting the motel and whatever, you know, little hotel with somebody, somebody else's wife, somebody else's daughter, something like that, you know, as a Christian, you're going to start like, no, the Holy Spirit's inside of me. He's a person. He's not just a little dove. He's not just a little feeling. He is a person. He is God inside of me. God is inside of me in the person of the Holy Spirit. How can I go lay down with somebody? How can my eyes look at something that is dishonest? How can I lie? How can I do this? How can I talk about the person over there, you know, when the Holy Spirit is inside of me? See, when you know the reality of the Holy Spirit, that's going to help you not to do the same thing as you used to do before. Amen. Sometimes people go to darkness. They go to the restroom. They go by themselves. They go do different things. They travel by themselves. And sometimes they give them permission to bless themselves in the flesh. But when you know the Holy Spirit is there, no, I can't do it. Even though I'm driving, I can't listen to that music anymore. Even though I'm driving, I can't drink those things no more. I can't smoke no more. I can't do those things no more because the person of the Holy Spirit is inside of me. He is God, and he loves me, and is here to help me finish well. Amen? The Holy Spirit is like water. You can have, you know, you can have it without a real change. You can have water and not change. But when it has you, then you have no choice but to change. You can have water, but when the water has you, it takes a different. You know, for example, a glass of water, I just, you know, you drink some water. But when the water, when the rivers of the Holy Spirit, you know, when they pick you up and they begin to take you, that you know you have no more say-so. That when you're under the control of the Holy Spirit, then it takes you. You know, something about traction. You know, I always like to liken the Holy Spirit as a river. As a matter of fact, a symbol, a river is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And I'll probably share this later on. But the Bible says that the prophet, you know, Ezekiel, was brought through the river, and the water was up to his ankles, then up to his knees, then up to his waist, and then it was a river that could not be crossed. As long as there's traction in your feet, you know, you're still in control of yourself. You're still saying, no, you know, I'm not out of, want to become a third waiver. I don't want to give my house. I don't want to give my job. I don't want to do that, because you're in control of yourself. You have traction. It's like you're in the river, but you're on the banks of the river, hanging onto the branches. The river is flowing. You got to get into the middle of the river. But some of us, we like to have control of our lives. We like to have control of the service. We like to have control of whatever's going on, because we are afraid of the unknown. We're not comfortable with the unknown. You know, we know this. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray a little bit. Let's go ahead and do this a little bit. Let's go. Let's have this in a service. Let's just, you know, let's make the announcements. We know how to do that. We know how that's going to work. But don't move over there, because it gets weird over there on that side. Sometimes what needs to happen, we need to let go of the branches and get into the middle of the river, so that water picks us up. And it takes us. The Bible says, wherever the river goes, life, there's fruitfulness, there's healing. Wherever the river goes, amen. And this is exactly what needs to take place. You, some of us, can I just be frank with you? Some of you are too much in control of yourself. And that's why nothing changes. You say, like, man, I'm stuck in the same thing over and over and over. Nothing changes. It's because you're in control of yourself. Let go. Let go and let God. Get into the middle of the river. You see how God begins to take you to places and areas that you have never. Listen, you're going to be able to do signs and wonders, healings in your life and through your life. God is going to move in your life like never before. But you need to let go. Notice that the little boy, what's his name? Elias, he's in the middle. When I see him worship, he's in the river. He's not hanging on, you know, being all self-conscious like some of us. Self-conscious of, you know, I wonder, am I doing? Are people going to criticize me? You're nervous. You look like a raccoon, like somebody, you know, like you know, a car is going to, you know, hit you. You know, like he worships God like he don't care. He worships God like, you know, like who cares about these people? I'm worshiping God. I'm worshiping the mighty God, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Changer. You know, the Alpha and the Omega. And he's the one that I'm pleasing. Amen. So that goes a commercial for all the worship leaders. Now, most of you guys are good, you know. But people in Eagle Rock, I said, man, you know, you're hanging onto the branches over here. Let go, man. Start dancing. Start moving. Start doing stuff, you know. Start acting like you're free. Start acting like you're under the influence. How many of you be under the influence in the past? Right? Under the influence. When you get alcohol, you smoke a little weed or do a little acid, you're under the, you do things that you normally don't do. Right? Most of us, we're not good dancers. But give us a fifth, you know, give us a couple of screwdrivers. Give us a couple of Bloody Marys. Come on, somebody. And we'll do the Michael Jackson. We'll do the split, man. We'll do the moonwalk. We'll do all kinds of things because you're under the influence. See, so when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you're going to do things, you know, you're going to wear pants like this when you... I don't care what anybody thinks. Amen. My wife says, you're going through a midlife crisis. I said, midlife crisis is the midlife crisis. I'll be 67 years old. May the 6th, write it down. So I'm not going through midlife crisis. I'm a third waiver now. It is official. Pastor August, a third waiver. Come on, somebody. I ain't going to stay behind. I ain't going to get old. I'm going to get younger. Come on, somebody. I'm going to go with Pastor Son, and wherever he goes, I go. Amen. And I'm going to preach like I don't care. I'm going to act like I don't care. I don't care who criticizes or no, whether or not. I'm in the river. And as long as I'm pleasing God and I'm glorifying the name of Jesus, then I'm going to do that, whatever I can, to stay relevant. Without that, I would have my coach with the patches like Andrew Griffith, like Barney Five, you know, all looking all, you know, like back in the 70s or the 50s. But it's time to upgrade ourselves, come on, somebody. It's time to push the button reset, come on, somebody. It's time to start getting in the middle of the river and worship like you don't care. Pray like you don't care. Pray all night, you know, do stuff that you never done before. Get in the middle of the river. Don't just have control of the water. Let the water have control of you. And when you do that, you're going to begin to act on the supernatural, walk in the supernatural, speak the supernatural, believe the supernatural, and begin to do things that you have never done before. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is how Paul ends, you know, this you know, the second book of Corinthians. He says the grace of God. This is the Trinity. Muslims, they don't believe in the Trinity. Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe in the Trinity. This is the Trinity. In one verse, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, and the love of the Father, the first person of the Trinity, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. The communion of the Holy Spirit. The word communion is koinonia. The word koinonia is intimacy. The intimacy of the Holy Spirit. Oh. The intimacy of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You know, the greatest moments in my life is when I'm on my knees, you know, just loving God and worshiping God and have communion, intimate communion with the Holy Spirit. Lately, the Holy Spirit just been waking me up at 4 in the morning. In my bedroom, I have a bedroom, I have a closet. I discovered there's another room on the other side of one wall, and that's not my prayer room. But in the middle of the night, we just get up. I get up, you know, I go into my prayer room, the upper room. I have a two-story house. You know, go to the upper room and hang out with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he don't want nothing. You know, sometimes I go in there and says, I don't want nothing. I don't want nothing. I'm not asking you for nothing. I need things, but I'm not going to. I just want to hang out with you right now. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And you begin to see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, you know, in different ways. He manifests his presence in different ways. But the Holy Spirit's a person. He's not a dove. He's not a feeling. He's not a force. He's not energy. He's a person. Amen? So before I do something that may quench the Holy Spirit, I have to act like, man, the Holy Spirit's inside of me. Not just the angels are watching. Not only a cloud of witnesses are watching, but the Holy Spirit is inside of me. Amen? And I have to be careful to guard the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. So, you know, it's not old-fashioned to talk about holiness. Holiness is still for today. I'm not talking about perfection, but I'm talking about holiness. I'm talking about separation. I'm talking about living life. I'm talking about having your phone clean from craziness. You know, and that's, and you need to do that. You need to be able to have your wife or somebody go through your phone without you being embarrassed what's going to come out of there. And you're going to be able to see, you know, to see the history. Don't erase your history. We need to know your history. We need to know what you've been watching. So when you have a phone, you know, with erased history, that means that you have history without God. That means your history, you know. No. My wife can pick up my phone Anybody can pick up my phone, and I don't have to be embarrassed. They can pick up my computer, and I don't have to be embarrassed. But I make a covenant between God and my eyes. Make a covenant. I say, I want to be used, God. I'm 66 years old. I want the best version of myself to be now, not before. I don't want to talk about our good old days in the past. I want new stories now. I want God to do something special in my life. I want to be able to finish right. I want to help Pastor Sonny. I want to help the elders, the multi-regionals. I want to be an extension of this new wave. I want to be relevant. All my leaders are all young people. Stand up, Carlos. This is the age of all my leadership in my church. So I ain't dressing like this for fun. I need to, you know, without them, I'd be dressing like Barney Fife, you know, in a choir. Come on, somebody. So we need to, and listen, you know, the third wave is not in the pens. The third wave is in the heart. The third wave is not all about young people. The third wave is about victory average. The first wave, the second wave, and the third wave, that is the revival. First revival, 1967, 26 years later, 26 years later, 1993, the second wave hit, the Joshua generation. 26 years later, 2019, the third wave hit with a third promise. The third one, that's the fourth wave right there. That is your new, the new elder, amen. The new multi-regional. Come on. Stay humble, son. You see what? But listen, the third wave has nothing to do with, you know, torn pants. It has nothing to do. It's a movement of God in Victory Outreach. And God is using young people. That's why Pastor Sonny is hanging around young people. He says, I'm a third wave. He's 82 years old. But it's not, don't confuse, it's not just young people. The third wave is a revival that God is bringing in Victory Outreach that is going to accelerate the growth of our churches, the growth of your personal life, the growth and extension of base churches around the world. That is the third base. But without the Holy Spirit, there's no revival. Amen? There's no revival. So are you getting something out of this? Okay, so the Holy Spirit is the most powerful person in the universe. Facts about the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the facts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is not just the power of force. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given to particular individuals for special tasks. But in the New Testament, every believer received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, in the Old Testament, Moses, Elijah, you know, people like that. But in the New Testament, everybody. And I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Everybody has. You have the Holy Spirit. But if you don't know the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're going to treat him like, oh, my God, he's like La Chota, you know, like. You know, the FBI, you know, he's just here, you know, to guard, you know, he's here to spy on me or something. He's your best friend, bro. The Holy Spirit's your best friend. The Holy Spirit will never tell on you. He's loyal to you. Some of us, we could have been doing life. But it's the Holy Spirit that protected you. That bullet should have hit you, but it was the Holy Spirit saying his angels to snatch the bullet before it hit your head. Some of you should have got divorced a long time. It was the activity of the Holy Spirit that helped you to say I'm sorry, to make things right, to make the adjustments necessary. It's the Holy Spirit that anoints you to preach. It is the Holy Spirit that anoints you to see wisdom, sight, you know, with sights, you know, insight and foresight. It is the Holy Spirit that protects you. It is the Holy Spirit that leads you to repentance. It's the Holy Spirit that changes your life. You know that the Holy Spirit, Jesus would have not been able to be born without the Holy Spirit. Jesus would still be dead if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's power. Somebody say power in the Holy Spirit. So let us look a little bit about about the person of the Holy Spirit. Facts about the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit is a person. John 16:7. Just write it down. I don't have time to read all the scriptures. But I'm just going to give you, you know, the facts about the Holy Spirit. He is the omnipresent God. Psalms 139:7. The Holy Spirit is the eternal spirit. Hebrews 9:14. He is the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:17. He is the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 3:3. He is Christ. Spirit. He is the Spirit of Christ. 1 Peter 1:11. He is the creating spirit. Job 33:4. So the third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. Christ's Spirit, the testimony of God. 1 John 5:6-9. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The Father and the Holy Spirit. Look at this. How the Father and the Holy Spirit work in creation. Genesis 1:1-2. You see the Holy Spirit working with the Father. Then I'll see you hold the you see the Holy Spirit in the dwelling in Genesis 6:3. You see the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah 61:1. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. In speaking, Matthew 10:20. In giving, John 14:16. I'm giving you all this ammunition, you know, that helps you understand that the Holy Spirit, how important the Holy Spirit is in the scripture. The Holy Spirit in Christ. I just gave you some on the Father, but now the Holy Spirit in Christ and Jesus. Christ was born through the Holy Spirit, Luke 1:35. He was full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, Luke 14:1. Jesus could do no miracles apart from the Holy Spirit. Jesus could do no miracles. As a matter of fact, there was no recorded miracles in the life of Jesus until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. How important is for you to rely on the Holy Spirit? If Jesus depended to take every step, to say everything, to lay hands on the sick, to, you know, to heal the blind, to walk on water. If he did all that under the influence of the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I need the Holy Spirit? Jesus didn't do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. Why are you? Why am I? So you need to depend on the Holy Spirit for your job, for your marriage, for your preaching, for whatever decision you make. He was full of the Holy Spirit, Luke 4:1. He was led by the Spirit to be tempted. He was led by the Spirit in Luke 4:4 and also Matthew 4:4. He was anointed by the Spirit, Luke 4:18. He did good by the Spirit. Jesus did good by the Acts 10:38. He died through the Holy Spirit, Hebrews 9:14. And he was raised by the Spirit in Romans 8:11. Jesus would still be dead if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. It was Kratos power, the resurrection power that came upon Jesus and resurrected him from the dead. Amen. The titles of the Holy Spirit. Are you okay? So I'm giving you enough ammunition. I know I'm going a little fast, you know, but you can probably watch this online later on, you know, and you can, maybe I'll give my notes to the pastor and then he can go and give them to you. The titles of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth in John 14:17. He's the Spirit of grace in Hebrews 11:29. He is the Spirit of glory, 1 Peter 4:14. He's the Spirit of living of the living God, 2 Corinthians 3:3. He is the Spirit of understanding, Isaiah 11:2. He's the spirit of counsel. Isaiah 11, verse 2, he's the spirit of knowledge. Give you all knowledge. And first, Isaiah 11, 2. Let me give you about that knowledge thing. You know that I was born in Mexico City. Came to the United States at the age of 13. Because I used to get beat up a lot in school by the gangs. I rejected the culture of the United States. So I want to go back to Mexico, you know, where I'm accepted there. And so what happened is that because I rejected the culture of the United States, I didn't learn how to speak English till later in life. And I couldn't read at 25 years old. I couldn't read English nor Spanish. My reading level was third grade level reading. Third grade. And I'm 25 years old. I'm good, you know, I'm great with my hands. I'm great, you know, I'm doing things with my loading trucks and sweeping and all that stuff. Put me behind a desk and I'll freeze because I don't know how to read nor write. So at 25 years old, that messes with you. But I start learning about the Holy Spirit and the spirit of knowledge. I start asking the Holy Spirit, man, I don't waste my life. You know, I'm a little Mexican, but man, don't waste my life. I love you. I'm going to do whatever I can. You know, use me. Help me out. You know, so Pastor Sonny and Dale and Sam Sanchez, they asked us to not go to school. And so they say, okay, all of you guys, you need to start going to school. You can't build a church with your testimony. So there we are, and they don't know. I don't know how to read. They don't know. You know, I'm here. I'm a pastor already, but I got to tell you a little secret. You won't tell nobody else. I used to memorize the scriptures and pretend I was reading because I was embarrassed to tell people I don't know how to read. So anyways, they want us to go to school, but I don't know how to read. At that time, I was, you know, running back and forth to Africa, and I'm thinking, I can't go to school, go to Africa at the same time. And so, anyways, but Pastor Sonny, no, you need to go to school. So I'm in school and I'm sweating bullets, you know, because academically I'm a failure. I don't know, you know. And so, anyways, so I'm in school and I'm sweating bullets, and I had to study. Is anybody here in school? You were the last one to finish your test. Anybody here like me, right? So everybody finished, everybody's smart, everybody, but you're the last one. Half an hour after, everybody's talking, everybody's outside, you know, having a good time, and you're sweating bullets, man, reading the dumb thing over again, over and over, and try to, you know, get it right. Anybody like me like that? I'll tell you another secret. Now I somehow finished the bachelor's, you know, and then Pastor Sonny says, now you're going to do the master's at a university. My reading level was still pretty, like junior high or something like that. I go, man, English is my second language. I don't know all the words. So anyways, they push us in there. I say, Holy Spirit, you need to help me. Because you know that I don't know how to read. You know my comprehension is not that great. You know English is my second language. And, you know, so I was complaining to the Holy Spirit. I said, why? Why I had to go through all this? I could have done that in Mexico. You know, I could have learned that in Mexico. But I had to go through all this humiliation. And so I said, you need to help me. So as God is my witness, I didn't know how to spell. But I began to, you know, like write stuff. And it was starting to the right spell in school. You know, so now they push us. And then there was like maybe 20 pastors in the school. Of Victory, you know, it was a university, Azusa Pacific University. So I'm in school, and I'm sitting there, and the professor, it says, okay, now what we're gonna do? We're gonna read, you know, each one of you gonna read like 5 pages, and then we'll talk about those 5 pages. So 5 pages here, 5 pages there, 5 pages there, all university level, and I'm sitting there, and I don't know how to read that level. I'd read slow. So I'm like in there, like, and I'm shooting bullets. When I was a little boy, I tell you what happened. When I was a little boy, my fear was to get people make fun of me, you know, academically. And so my fear, that happened to me when I was a little, I was 6 years old, and it traumatized my psychosis or whatever it may be in my brain, and I shy away from academics all my life. Now I'm in a university, and they're going to make me read 5 pages with words I don't can't even pronounce. And so this one, so I'm like number 12, and I'm just like, oh, my God, what am I going to say? How am I going to read? I can't read. This is embarrassing. They're going to laugh at me. So all of a sudden, you know, comes to me, and Dr. Zoni is like, okay, Aki, go ahead. And I said, I can't read this. And he looked at me. He says, okay, next. You know, it's just like that to protect me. And I said, well, let me explain why. So I explained my case. I go, I can read silently, but not aloud in front of everybody. He says, that's okay, you know, go on. But he never allowed me, he never make me read in front of everybody anymore. But every test, I was the last one. Every test. Every, you know, at the university, you have to read 5,000 pages per class. Every 16 weeks. I had up to 3 classes, 15,000 pages I had to read every 16 and give an account, you know, give writings, you know. So most of the time I had only 2 classes, 10,000 pages that I had to read every 16 weeks and give an account. I planted 17 churches at that time. I asked, can I go to Nigeria, Liberia, and I do field studies? This is what they told me. Go to Liberia, stay in Liberia. Don't waste our time here. These are academics. You want to be a missionary? Be a missionary. These are academics. You can't mess around here. It says, by the way, we're telling you not to go to Liberia because if you go, you get behind 1 week, you're not going to be able to recover. If you're behind 2 weeks in your homework, don't bother to come back. This is academics. So anyways, long story short, we went to Liberia, planted 17 churches. I was able to raise $1.5 million to construct, you know, to beautify building inside and to enlarge it. Within the same year, I was able to manage to get A's. Average A's. But wait a minute. Wait. Don't clap, you know. So average A's, you know, GPS, it was up 3.8. So anyways, what happens is this. At the conclusion of the second master's, I quit at the conclusion of the first master's. At the second master's, I told Pastor Sonny, I said, I can't do this thing. I can't keep going to Africa and then raise money for my church and be a regional and still full-time, you know, university. I cannot do that. He says, how long before you get the second master's? And another year and a half. He says, go back in there, you know, and you finish what you started. So push me back in there. So I'm in there, conclusion of the whole thing. They thought I was cheating. They really thought I was cheating. The dean of the university, he must be cheating because we told him to go to Africa and he disobedient. He keeps going back in Africa because he's looking at the media and looking at all my trips. And they said, he's still be disobedient. He goes to Africa. But how is it that he's getting A's? How is it? It's impossible. He's planning all these churches, and he's getting A's. It's impossible. He must be cheating. So they watched me real close. I didn't know they were watching me. I found out on the last day, you know, of the graduation, you know. And so they invited me to this one alumni at the conclusion of the whole thing. They have cameras. They have all the writers, book writers, you know, that we read. Scholars, all kinds of people like that. And I said, man, we're going to learn from the, you know, from the very best. And they said, no, you got it all wrong. They're not here to lecture you. They're here to find out how in the world you were able to manage, get A's, you know, and go to Africa, plant 17 churches. They're here to learn from you. As a result, Pastor Nick, they want to do a program on me on PBS, worldwide. They want to do a program. I have to say, I'd have to decline at least 3 or 4 times. But my name is outstanding. They give me the outstanding student of the year. If you go to Assistant Pacific University, my name's still there as the outstanding student of the year 2007. How? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. I am here to tell you the Holy Spirit is there to help you. Is there to empower you. There to help you. A year later, they call me back again, and it says, you got the outstanding, the alumni student of the year at a university. Graduated with A's. In school, I got F's. Everything was F's, except gym. Everything was F's. Listen, I'm just putting a little meter to what I'm saying right now, because some of you may have a problem with your business. You may have a problem with your marriage. You may have a problem with your body. You may have a problem. But the Holy Spirit can make everything change for you. The Holy Spirit can change everything in your life. I'm not a smart person. I don't think I'm real smart. I think I'm wise. I made a lot of mistakes in my life. You know, but here, you know, it started in my church with nothing. With absolutely nothing. And at the end, making right moves. Pastor Sonny showed me to make certain moves, you know. And at the end, I started with holes in my shoes. I started with nothing. No people ever helped us. No millionaires ever helped us. It's all tithes and offerings. Well, I'm going to speak, you know, a little bit of that tomorrow. But I say that to say this. Without being real super smart, in my mind, as far as we own 4 houses. The 4 houses have better than almost $3 million equity. That's personal. I bought a building for $740. Now they're offering $15 million. I owe $950,000. We have $14 million equity, everybody. I'm from Mexico City. Couldn't read, couldn't write. Tiny, you know, from a rancho high school. He knows, man. I was one of those guys nobody picked for nothing. You know, gym, everybody line up. Everybody gets picked except little Augie. Yeah, I never got picked for nothing. I got picked to go to Salazar, you know, the continuation school and stuff like that. I numb myself, you know, with the LSD. I mean, if you go to Passons Boulevard, every tree was my friend. Every tree, I have this deep relationship with these trees. The trees never fall back. They accepted me as I was. I had this deep conversation with trees. That was me in the 70s. That's how I cope with rejection. That's how I cope with not being accepted. I joined my brother's gang, you know, because I got tired of getting beat up. You know, and that's why I joined the gang. You know, I don't want to get beat up no more. But man, can those trees, they know things about me. Man, so here we are. What, you know, 36 years later, you know, about $15 to $16 million equity. I can sell everything I got, and we got $16 million from Mexico City. Not smart. A little wise, you know, how do you get that? In the middle of the river. The middle of the river. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. It says, yeah, though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God, the Holy Spirit, is with me. God, the Holy Spirit, is with me, and He leads me, and He guides me, and He helps me, and He empowers me, and He helps me to make the wrongs right. I'm going on 45 years married to the same person, 50 years together with the same person. How do you get like that? In the middle of the river, guys. The middle of the river. I'm talking about the person. Look, I'll be 67 years old. I should be in a wheelchair now. I should be like, you know, walking around like, you know, with all kinds of sickness and diseases inside. There's no diseases inside of this body. There's nothing. A little high cholesterol. That's all. Not like a borderline hockey lesser, but I can go jogging and, you know, maybe knock it down. What am I saying? The presence of the Holy Spirit. The leading of the Holy Spirit helps me make the right choices. Eat the right things. Do the right thing to help me to get to Armor. Now, I'm 67. I'll be 60, make the 6. And I'm thinking I'm living out a dream. You know, when you study my life real good, you see that I can never pray without cleanness. By the time I finish praying, there's a bunch of tears and mucus in there. And I'm a grateful person. I'm a grateful person. I'm a person that is grateful because I don't deserve to have my arms. Listen, as God is my way, I feel like a teenager, man. I have energy. I want to climb mountains, man. I want to do a marathon. I just did 1,200 miles in my Harley. You know, I can go places. So I don't want to use my health to do my own thing. I want to do my health to stay in the river. So whatever the Holy Spirit tells me to do, I go. Go places like Milwaukee, come on, somebody. Go places like Chicago. Go places like Panama, like Guadalajara. Go places like Africa. Go places like that and be used of God to glorify His name and to love Him, to praise Him, to get people to worship Him, to praise Him with all their hearts. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. It's the person. Listen, I was a womanizer. I was not loyal to my wife. She found me with women in motels. But I've been loyal to her. I have one love, God and my wife. But I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I couldn't say that. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I'd be broken and messed up, disgusted, could not be trusted. It's the Holy Spirit. So what I'm trying to say, I'm living. But you got the Holy Spirit. Depend on the Holy Spirit. Depend on speaking in tongues. It's the Holy Spirit using tongues inside of your life to guide you, to protect you, to do everything you can. I'm living out a dream. My life is a dream from where I come from. My life is a dream. In high school, they put me, when I ran to high school, they put me in a classroom of mental retarded, mentally challenged kids. Forgive me for doing that, but you know, but that was my classroom, 25. You know, I remember just open the door and everybody's like this, in wheelchairs and all that. That's my classroom. I went back to the office and I said, "You got it all wrong. I'm okay." You know, I says, "No, according to all your grades, you got brain damage. You got all F's. We don't know how you got here. You got brain damage." So when I got the outstanding student of the year, man, I took that thing and I went back to Rancho High School. I went from the university straight to Rancho. In fact, in the university, they still have my bio in the dean's office. They still have, they can only keep it 7 years. Now, that's 2007. That's 17 years they have my bio there with my picture. The reason I'm saying this, because I went from there straight to there, and I knelt down and started crying, "God, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this." I go, "Why do you do this for me? Why do you bless me financially? Why you make all these blessings?" And the Lord told me, says, "Son, because if I would have done through anybody else, they would attribute their goodness to their looks, to their IQ. They would attribute everything to everything else." He says, "With you, there's no doubt that it was me." Nobody, because everybody knows you. You're not that smart. You're not that, you know. Yeah, nobody's going to doubt that it was me. Amen. So I'm not the most eloquent speaker. I'm not all of that stuff. But when you go into my church, you'll know there's substance there. When you go to my church and you see the people that we put out, all the churches that we put out, you know that the Holy Spirit is present. So it's not me. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'm going to just be quiet now. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. I want you to love the Holy Spirit. Depend on the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. You know, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Guard the Holy Spirit in your life. Guard your eyes. Guard your heart. Don't hold grudges against other people. It is the Holy Spirit that wants to help you finish right. He's the one that anoints you. He's the one that appoints you. He's the one that gives you the power. He's the one that gives you the promotions. He's the one that all of that stuff. Amen? And so I pray that you treasure the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus treasured the Holy Spirit. If it wasn't the Holy Spirit, there would be no church. The church was born through the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born through the Holy Spirit. So don't treat him as a little force or like a little dove. He's a person. Get rid of anything in your house that grieves the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Lord told me that. He said, you got some movies? Not porno movies, but I have movies. I remember I got one movie. It's called The Wildlife by De Niro. So wildlife, okay, I like wildlife. It's probably, you know, deers and bears and all. I like that stuff. It wasn't that. It was a lot of cussing. I mean, I'm not knocking down, you know. I know that I like gangster movies, you know, and there's, you know, but there's certain things, you know, that you don't want to make so much a part of your life that grieves the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying. I still like those movies. But don't make it part of your life. Don't allow dirt to come in your life. Don't allow it to block the Holy Spirit from your life. Go into your house and take anything that is not pleasing to the Holy Spirit, and you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to feel the glory of God parading itself in your house. The same thing in your church. Anything in your church that doesn't please God, get rid of it. Sometimes we get rid of some people. Come on. Not you guys, but some people that are watching right here. You know, they just make life impossible. They complain about everything. They want to hijack the vision. There's hijackers, and there's those that hijack. There's hitchhikers and hijackers. That some people want to hijack the vision. Well, we didn't do like that in my church. And we never did like, I'm not used to that. And, you know, sometimes leaders, they go at each other like that. And like sometimes it's easier to fight the devil than to fight the spirit of leaders, that they don't love each other. They don't get along with each other. The Christian politics. Oh, why am I getting into this kind of stuff? Because God wants to grow our region. God wants to grow our churches. God wants you to be updated. He wants you to be, you know, with the Holy Ghost. People are going to come and see the wonders of God in your church. People are going to see signs and wonders. And they're not going to doubt that you're from God. Whether you preach good or not, they're going to know, man, I feel the presence of God in that place. You know? So they're not going to care whether, you know, you have an IQ, you have great speech or articulation. They're not going to care. They're just going to care that you have the goods. You have the presence of God inside of your life. Amen. And when you have that, then God is going to do the rest. Amen? Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord God, for our time together. Holy Spirit, I pray that you allow this word to sink in their hearts, Lord God, to be attuned their hearts. Help them to know you're not here to promote yourself, but help them that you want to bring the image of Christ in their lives. You want to bring the love of God in their lives, in their families, in their marriages, in their ministry. And Lord, and you, as long as people go into hell in our cities, Lord, that we should never, never be accustomed to not have new visitors in our church. That we should never relax by not having new salvations in our churches. God, that we may moisten the ground of our cities with our tears. God, we love you. We praise you so much, God. And we thank you, Lord, for Pastor Sonny. We thank you, Father, for Sister Julie. We thank you for this third wave revival that is sweeping across the world. God, use the young people. Use us, the first and second wave, to help them make the right choices. And let the young people be open to receive counsel from the first, second, and first wave. To make us all one, Father. Lord, I praise you and I glorify your precious and beautiful name. Holy Spirit, I begin to work in every person in this place in your precious and beautiful name. We love you, Lord God. Let's all stand together. I'm going to ask, as we sing some worship song, I'll give you some moments to spend time with your best friend, the Holy Spirit. Listen, He's here to protect you. I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit is here to protect you. He will protect you. He will not embarrass you. He will not tell your secrets nor your failures to other people. He will not publicize that. The only time He does that when we don't want to learn. When we grieve, we constantly grieve Him and quench Him. That's the only time that the Lord says, okay, you don't want to do it this way, well, let's go ahead and do it this other way. But outside of that, I love the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. He's my best friend. And He's the one that helped me to get to where I'm at. He's the one that's going to help me to finish, you know, my journey in this life. I want you to come in a minute. And I want you to talk to the Holy Spirit as a person. Not to Jesus, not to the Father. Speak to the Holy Spirit. Talk to Him as your best friend. Listen, the Holy Spirit, you can tell Him all you bad. You can tell the Holy Spirit, I'm mad. I feel like cussing. I feel like fighting. God, I'm discouraged. I don't like the pastor. I don't like this move. You can tell the Holy Spirit that because He understands that. And He can guide you. You can speak to the Holy Spirit of that. He's not going to be surprised because He already knows you. He lives inside of you. But let Him know that He's appreciated as a person. Let Him know you're going to start listening to Him. Give me a hearing ear and an obedient heart. Two things. Help me to hear your voice and help me to obey your voice. A hearing ear and an obedient heart. The altars are open. Come. He wants to help you. He wants to do something supernatural in your life. He wants to empower your life. He wants to do the impossible in your life and through your life. Find a place and talk to the Holy Spirit as your best friend. Tell him all your cares. Tell him your feelings. Open up your heart. Open up your soul to Him. He loves you. He wants to empower you. He wants to help you. He wants to protect you. He wants to guide you. He wants to reassure you that you're not alone in this journey. He's with you. He's going to help you. God is going to help you. The devil doesn't have the last say so. Corona doesn't have the license, so the Holy Spirit does. So you tell Him, Holy Spirit, I'm discouraged. I need some help. I need some help, God. I need finances. I need a building. I need a house. I need the anointing. I need some guidance. My family, God. You talk to the Holy Spirit, and you see how God is going to begin to turn things around for you. Go ahead. Get desperate.